I'm Jason Epperson. This is RV Miles, and it's time for the latest in RV and camping news. First up, as of this recording, Monday afternoon, the 29th, the federal government is barreling toward a shutdown that would take effect on Wednesday and could affect travel in significant ways. Many National Park Service sites would be closed completely to public access during a government shutdown, according to the service's current contingency plan. However, that plan was developed under the previous administration, and we don't know exactly what this one will do, but it's something to watch closely if you have upcoming visits planned to national parks, national forests, or other federal recreation sites, and different agencies could handle this differently. Areas that are accessible to the public and can't be shut down would theoretically face significantly reduced visitor services, according to the plan, and the public will be asked to not visit national parks for the duration of the shutdown, whether they do or not, according to that plan. That said, a Park Service spokesperson told the New York Times plans for a shutdown were being reviewed and updated, but declined to elaborate. States can foot the bill to keep their national park sites open. Arizona, Colorado, and Utah committed to keeping national parks within their borders open ahead of a funding deadline back in 2023, but a shutdown was ultimately avoided. If you're crossing borders, the country's entry ports should not be affected, as border agents are considered essential employees and are not affected by a shutdown. I told you we'd have some more updates on new RVs released at the annual dealer open house event held in Elkhart, Indiana every year. And whoa boy, Axiom RVs are something else. We've been getting a tease of Axiom's Vendetta toy hauler for a while now. I've been sharing little bits of it on videos with you. And now we have all of its details, plus Axiom's other new fifth wheel, the Imperium. Axiom is a company formed by laid off Heartland RV executives. Heartland RV sort of downsized and shifted operations under the Jayco umbrella. Heartland is a Thor company, and they laid off several executives who went and formed this company. They're actually being sued by Thor for forming this company. But they say they can bring something new to the table and fix certain problems in the industry. These are big, heavy beasts. They're built with a steel wall structure. Other RVs use wood or aluminum. Most fifth wheels are going to be built with aluminum wall structures, and then there's foam sandwich in there by either Luon wood or Azdel composite, and then fiberglass on the outside. Axiom is using steel, which of course is going to make it heavier. They've done away with rooftop air conditioners in favor of ultra quiet and efficient mini splits. We talked about that in the past, but what I didn't know about that is that's allowed them to actually raise the roof of their fifth wheels up to 13.5 feet, 13 feet 5 inches to be exact. That's basically where all fifth wheels max out, but usually it's at the top of the air conditioners. So these things have super tall walls made out of steel frames. They also have super tall and gigantically wide slides in them. And that creates a massive ceiling height of almost 10 feet on the main floor and 7'7" in the upper deck area, which is unheard of. It's so high that they include a collapsible ladder for reaching interior cabinets. The Vendetta toy hauler comes in 4 47-foot floor plans that sleep up to 12. They even have a porch swing that can hang from the upper deck. The Imperium fifth wheel is only 34 feet long, but still super tall and super heavy, and it uses one of those great side patios that we have on our fifth wheel, but it puts it on the upper deck area off the bedroom. These are really interesting. It's likely that they're going to be quite pricey. They have lots of unique design ideas implemented that I think could filter out to different areas of the industry. I just wish they weren't quite so huge. I like the idea of the steel structure and all that. These are both Dooley territory. Maybe implement that in a smaller fifth wheel. Or, you know, pull the air conditioners off the roof, sure, but why do we need to make the roof taller? Regardless, you can find full tours of both models on YouTube from Matt's RV Reviews, Josh the RV Nerd, and JD at Big Truck Big RV. More in a moment, but first, this episode is sponsored by eTrailer. Ever feel like finding the right RV part is like searching for a needle in a haystack? Enter eTrailer.com. Whether you're puzzled about which product is right for you or how to install it, eTrailer has got you covered. Their US-based customer service is available by chat or phone 7 days a week, and with expert Q&As, helpful articles, and tons of reviews and install videos, you'll tackle any RV problem with confidence.
e-trailer strives to get their hands on everything they sell, and their website is full of overviews, reviews, buying guides, and tutorials. And it's not just RV parts, it's towing and vehicle accessories, camping supplies, and more. Head to the link in the description and get free shipping on orders over $99.
Another independent RV maker, but one that's been around for a while, New Camp, has launched its Haven line of travel trailers, which are under 23 feet long and weigh under 4,000 pounds dry, and they have no slides. Highlights include a walk-around queen bed with a twin bed floor plan available later this year. I really like twin bed floor plans. They have an ample dry bath. Most New Camps have wet baths, and they have a large four-person dinette. An RV park with more than 2,300 sites is under development in Taylor County, Texas. During a meeting Tuesday, Taylor County commissioners approved a final infrastructure development plan for the Elmdale RV Park, which will encompass 148 acres, and it will be the second largest RV park in the nation. South Carolina's Ocean Lakes Family Campground has around 3,400 sites. According to reporting from RVTravel.com, the Texas development is designed to address temporary housing needs, particularly for workers involved in nearby AI data center projects. RV park occupancies across the U.S. have largely been flat this year and with notably smaller booking windows than last year, according to reservation software company CampSpot, meaning maybe it's a little bit easier to get a reservation. CampSpot provided Woodall's Campground Magazine with comparative statistics for both private and public parks compiled through August 27th. CampSpot's used by more than 3,000 private and public parks across the country. Overall, CampSpot said to Woodall's, the U.S. has seen a fairly flat occupancy level in the first months of the year with a larger decline in the summer months. Most regions have seen a decline in occupancy year over year for the summer months, with states in the Rocky Mountains and High Plains being the hardest hit, with an 8% decline in bookings. The Pacific Northwest was the only region with growth, with 1% to 2% depending on the month. The average length of stay hasn't changed much year over year, but the booking window has. It's shifted towards 60 days or less. Essentially, fewer reservations are being booked further in advance. Woodall's also talked with several park owners and ownership groups about the current state of campground bookings, and some of the results are really kind of mixed. I'll share a link to that article in the description. Ford Motor Company is recalling over 115,000 2020 to 2021 F-250, F-350, and F-450 vehicles. The steering column upper shaft may detach from the steering column itself and result in a loss of steering control, which sounds super dangerous. Dealers will inspect the steering column and repair or replace the upper shaft as necessary free of charge. Interim letters notifying owners of the safety risk are expected to be mailed October 6th. Additional letters will be sent once the final remedy is available, anticipated in December. Finally, I want to talk a bit about the hullabaloo around Newmar VIN numbers that's come up in the last couple of weeks. I haven't had the chance to dive deep into this story or cover it on last week's news, at least, because we've been deep in preparation and running our homecoming rally, which just wrapped up. Thanks to all of you that were there. If you're not aware of this story, what happened essentially was a Canadian couple sold their Newmar motorhome to a U.S. buyer and was trying to drive it into the U.S. to complete the transaction. And during that process, which is a little bit different than if you're just traveling for tourism reasons, because it was essentially an import, an expensive import, more paperwork is needed. And when you import a vehicle, a VIN inspection is performed, and the customs officer was not able to find a VIN number on the chassis that met with what he believed were the standards, and he seized the vehicle. He could only find the last five digits stamped on the chassis itself. There's a lot more to this story, including a zoo of content creators talking about it in depth, lots of arguments in forums, etc. And Newmar is adamantly saying their vehicles are all in compliance with the VIN number properly affixed to the steering column on the Spartan chassis. Spartan is the company that manufactures the chassis, and it would be the responsibility in the first place for Spartan for the VIN. Now, the U.S. government has fined this Canadian couple $660,000. And there's been a huge blowback against Newmar, perhaps some of it deserved if they didn't roll up their sleeves and try to help this owner out. Newmar has released a FAQ on their website covering the issue. But what I wanted to ask here is, why am I hearing hardly anybody complain about the ridiculous government overreaction? Whether the vehicle's in compliance with the location of the VIN number or not, surely Newmar didn't do this intentionally. They're not saving money by not putting the VIN number in a certain place. And the couple's clearly not trying to scam anyone with a fake Newmar, especially because the customs officer visited a Newmar dealership and found all the Newmars not to be in compliance in his eyes. The VIN is still well documented in several places on the vehicle. It matches the last five permanently stamped onto the chassis. And in fact, the $660,000 fine has the full VIN listed on it. So they got that somehow. So why in the world is the government A, seizing the vehicle, and B, issuing this massive fine without going through a process first, when the agents know this couple didn't do anything wrong? They know that for certain, and their beef is with Newmar and Spartan. It's a very weird issue to me, and just a blatant example of a ridiculously overblown situation that could easily be handled in a way that didn't cause this couple all of this difficulty and distress. Regardless, there's clearly more coming on this story, but if you're a Newmar owner, I wouldn't be too concerned unless you're selling your vehicle between countries, which, you know, is a rare incident. So thank you so much for being here. If you got something out of this video, hit the like button. If you want more like it, subscribe, and we'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.